the Lord.
Praise the holy name of Jesus. Right in this section on soul and spirit, water and spirit. Before we do that, though, I'd like you to get out a clean sheet of paper. Put your name at the top. And write the 12 nervous systems of the human body down in order. But I want you, this is a pop quiz. Put your name at the top and the date. Perspectives, AM. Put AM down. You am here. And answer these questions for me. Number one, what was that Elijah which was for to come, as prophesied in Malachi 4? Pardon? Okay. What was that Elijah which was for to come, as prophesied in Malachi 4? I'm looking for the exact same answer on file 9, where you gave both the identity and the ministry purpose. And in the identity, there's two aspects. So there's basically three parts to your answer. Two aspects in the identity and one aspect in the purpose. And, by the way, when I give you a question, don't be alarmed at the number of points for each question, because I don't have that many questions in the test, and I made it equal 100 points. It makes it a lot easier that way. And so I want you, when I give you the number, to put right after in parentheses how many points the question is worth. So number one, you'll go like this, and then you'll put 16. Just like that. Number one's worth 16. You'll write 16 and put it in parentheses. Number one's worth 16 points. Yes. Yes. And all those things are answering, who is that Elijah? Or what is that Elijah? Elijah will come. When he came, everybody was surprised. Nobody seemed to get it. There was a revelation involved in it. And so to properly describe Elijah, you have to give me both the identity and the purpose. Okay. Okay, you probably know the purpose. That's an easy one. Okay. Talking about the purpose of Elijah. What was the purpose of Elijah? Jesus said that. Jesus said it several different ways. So you probably know what the purpose of Elijah is. And identifying Elijah, you know who was called Elijah. That is part of the answer of the identity. The reason why those certain ones are called Elijah is because of what was in them. Okay. Number two, worth 15 points. List three ways in which John the Baptist and his ministry were types of the law. I gave you about 20. What you do is you look at John and what he did, who he was, you know, meaning of his name, whatever. Just look at all about John. What he did. And and list the areas of John that are parallel to the law. Types of the law. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In which he and his life and his ministry were types of the law. Remember when I compared, you mean you talk about John and Christ's baptisms? That's not what I'm talking about. That was a different list. That was a list on how John's baptism contrasted with Christ's baptism. What I'm looking for is similarities, not contrasts. A similarity of how John in his life and ministry and his baptism, for that reason, are similar to the law. What he did, what he said, what he thought, what happened, when he came, how he came, what he planned on doing, his purpose, all of that. So much of a type of the law. Think about what the law is. I wasn't looking for a place to hide. Pardon?
So we've all hidden our talents.
Don't tell me that the evening class is going to do better than you guys. Come on. Okay, question number 3. Worth 9 points. 9. 15. What question are you on? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Number 1 is worth 16 points. Number 2 is worth 15. Number 3 is worth 9. This is a multiple choice. All you're going to put down after number 3 is a letter. A, B, C, or D. And I'm going to read off the 4 choices to choose from. You put one of them down. The question is, what did God do in the birth of Christ, enabling Christ, or attributing to the fact, I should say, that Christ was able to be and remain sinless? What did God do in the birth of Christ, contributing to Christ being able to be and remain sinless? Number 1, or letter A, he caused Mary's seed to be without the curse of Adam. Letter B, he supernaturally lifted the curse of Adam off of Christ after his birth. Letter C, Christ was without a conscience, innocent as the first Adam before the fall. Letter D, he put unique chromosomes within Christ that did not allow him to sin as a child, but later was removed when he came to age. Okay, let me read these 4 again. Letter A, he caused Mary's seed to be without the curse of Adam. Letter B, he supernaturally lifted the curse of Adam from Christ after his birth. Letter C, Christ was without a conscience, innocent as the first Adam before the fall. Letter D, he put unique chromosomes within Christ that did not allow him to sin as a child, but later were removed when he came to age. Yes. And the question is, what did God do in the birth of Christ, contributing to him being able to be and remain sinless? All right, number 4, 12 points. What 2 circumstances of the temptation of Christ point to the probability of it being by vision? Now, I said the 2 circumstances. I don't mean reasons. I said circumstances, things that happened in the temptations. What two circumstances in the temptations of Christ point to the probability of those temptations being by vision? Actually, each answer is only about 3 words long. You can just shorten it down. You don't have to write a paragraph. Okay, number 5, worth 24 answers. 24 points. Worth 24 points. And under number 5, I want you to put numbers 1 through 8, because there's going to be 8 questions on number 5.
Or I should say 8 aspects of one question.
And on these questions, 1 through 8, you are going to put as an answer either letter A, B, or C. Letter A represents the first temptation of Christ, which was stones to bread. Letter B is going to represent the second temptation of Christ, which when he was taken to the pinnacle. And letter C represents the third temptation of Christ, when he was promised the kingdoms of the world. If he would just worship. Okay, what was your question? No, no, no. I just said, what you'll have behind each number is either A, B, or C. I just put that up there so you can remember. Now, each of my questions is a simple statement. And I want you to put down which temptation this statement correlates to. Okay, number 1, lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes, does that correlate with A, B, or C? Does that correlate with the first temptation, stones to bread? Second temptation, being taken to the pinnacle and asked, cast himself down so angels would bear him up? Or the third temptation, to worship the devil so he could receive all the kingdoms of the world? Okay, so number 1, the lust of the eyes. Number 2, Satan made false claims. He made false claims. He said he could do something. He could do something that wasn't totally true. Satan made false claims. He said he could do something, that Satan could do something that he really couldn't fully do. Number 3, the pride of life. Number 4, Satan misquoted scriptures. Number 5, the lust of the flesh. Number 6, walking by sight. Number 7, Satan questioned Christ's sonship. If you are the Son of God. I don't know. All you have to do is have one answer down. Number 8, Eve desired to be like God. So let me just read to them real quickly. Number 1 is lust of the eyes. Number 2 is Satan made false claims. Number 3, the pride of life. Number 4, Satan misquoted scripture. Number 5, the lust of the flesh. Number 6, walking by sight. Number 7, Satan questioned Christ's sonship. Number 8, Eve desired to be like God. Pardon? blessed are the eyes. Okay, question number 6, and it's the last question, worth 24 points. And you will have 6 answers, so put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 after it. Now, all of these questions relate to Christ's ancestry. Christ's ancestry. Okay? With the genealogy and all of that. Endless genealogies. 24. So before each. Question number 1. Who was Christ's immediate parent in his legal lineage? Immediate parent. You know, that's your parents. That's the ones you grew up with at home. Those are your immediate parents. So, who is Christ's immediate parent in his legal lineage? Pardon?
Parent.
Yeah. Which parent? And number 2 is, who is Christ's immediate parent in his natural lineage? Number 3, which New Testament book gives Christ's legal lineage? Which New Testament book gives Christ's legal lineage? That would give him the legal position as a man under the don't say anymore. Number 4. A son is always the blood of his father. Whose blood was Jesus of? In other words, he was the blood of the he had the blood of his father blank. Don't look at me like that. I talked about this real distinctly in class. Number 5. Was the curse of Jeconias upon Christ? Was the curse of Jeconias upon Christ? Number 6. Ultimately, and in the final analysis, who is Jesus the son of? Ultimately, and in a final analysis. So if you analyze it every single way, and you look at it in all the different ways, who was he the son of? Pardon me? Okay, those quick 6. Okay. Number 1, who was Christ's immediate parent in his legal lineage? Number 2 is, who is Christ's immediate parent in his natural lineage? Number 3, which New Testament book lists for us Christ's legal lineage? Number 4, whose blood? Jesus was the blood of his father, comma, who? Number 5, was the curse of Jeconias upon Christ? And number 6, in the ultimate final analysis, who is Jesus the son of? Okay, exchange of papers. Okay, put your name down as corrector so they'll know who to hunt up. Number 1. Who is that, or what was that Elijah which was for to come, as prophesied in Malachi chapter 4? It's the Holy Spirit in an individual or individuals bringing restoration. The Holy Spirit in an individual or individuals bringing restoration. Okay, now here's how you're going to grade it. Okay, we'll get into that. We got 16 points, and there's three main aspects. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give, although it's not really, I suppose the weight isn't that way, I'm going to put 8 points on the restoration aspect, and I'm going to put 8 points on the identity aspect. And in the identity, we're going to do it like a 4-on-4 situation here. If they gave names, Jesus and John, then that refers to the aspect of the individuals for 4 points. If they didn't say, if they just said it's the Holy Spirit bringing restoration, then they left out the aspect of the individuals. In order to get full 8 points for the identity, they have to have the Holy Spirit and an individual or individuals. Spirit of God is the same thing. The Spirit is the same. Spirit of Elijah. Spirit of Elijah depends on what they really mean by it. Say it. Read it out. Read it what it says. The ones with the Spirit of Elijah. Okay. Yeah, I'll give that everything but minus two. Because the Spirit of Elijah, depending on what they're saying. When it says in Luke, I tell you why I don't give that full credit. Because in Luke 1, when it talks about the Spirit of Elijah, it is including the Holy Ghost with the ministry of Elijah, which was restoration. But that may not be clear in the person's mind. But if you say the Holy Spirit, then we understand. Then we know. Because it was that same Spirit that was in John, he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, that he decreased in and went upon Christ and increased in him. But it's including that, it's including the ministry. And that's why you can't just isolate it out. So you understand, to describe Elijah, you can't take one of those three parts. You got to have all three. Three in one. Got to have them all. Because it's not Elijah without the ministry. It's not Elijah without the Holy Ghost. And it's not Elijah without it being in an individual. In a ministry. So, that's why that's not totally clear. Okay, any questions? Yes. Yeah, we'll accept that. Yes. Okay. Minus two again, just like one over here. Yes.
What I wrote down was a person like spirit as Elijah. We're going to do that.
Same. Minus two. See, in your mind of like spirit as Elijah, that may not give the clear understanding that I want this class to have. That it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Elijah is Yahweh is God. It's the Holy Spirit in that individual bringing restoration. And truly and honestly, if one says the Spirit of Elijah, and then they have the full understanding, that one phrase really does give a good definition. But I don't think most people have that. And they really understand it. And so when I gave the definition in class, I made it clear so that you'd understand what that Spirit of Elijah is. Okay. How are you doing, Marlene? You get it? You got it on paper this time. Anybody else? All right. Question two. Three ways. Just look at them. There was a whole bunch. I'm not even going to read them out. Just came in the wilderness, called for repentance of sin, pointed to Christ. Decreases and Christ increases, all of those things. Came to Israel, came after the promises. I mean, there's just a lot of things dealing with the law. Yes.
How about John was born under the law from Jesus, Galatians
4. Born under the law? John is a type of the law?
Yeah, here he just said John was born under the law.
Yeah, that wouldn't be it. No, it's not a type of the law. Yes. Carrie? Yep. In other words, John couldn't save you. Works alone can't save you. The law can't save you. It's good. 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 All three are excellent. Yeah.
God came to expose sin.
Good.
His law.
Yep.
John came point the way to Christ.
Yep.
John came not to save those of the law.
Yep. Excellent.
Judgment.
Pardon me?
Judgment. Give the direction, bring the correction.
Yep. Good, good. Yep, excellent. If just look at John, look at the law. And if, the, and if both are true, if it's true to both, you've got a type of the law. No, the law isn't under the law of the Old Testament. No, yes. Pardon me? Yeah, came from the wilderness. That's what happened to the law. Came from the wilderness. That's when it was given. All right. Next question, which is number three, is letter. The answer is letter C. He was without conscience, innocent as the first Adam before the fall. Number four, and I'll tell you what, if you live under the anointing of the Spirit of God and direction of the Spirit of God, you have a potential to live sinless. If you will live, because he that lives in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh and calling the Spirit, you are deceived. But if you live after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mike? 9. 9 points. Sin when you're 4 or 5? Well, I feel like Jesus had fellowship with his Father right from his birth. Not intelligently, but in the Spirit. And so he was fed milk and honey. That is, he received the Word of God and the sweetness of the Word of God. And there was a training going on from his Father. But because he, that's what he relied on, he was not born with a conscience. So he was not in that realm of just waiting for it to direct him. And when you're in that realm, it's pretty scary. Yeah. Yeah, see, a child that's 2 hours old can feel the presence of the Lord. He, not intelligently. I'll tell you what, we'll get that in just a second. I'll finish this one. That Jesus, the Spirit is different from the mind. And you're a little child and you can experience pain. You probably don't even know it's pain. I mean, you don't know anything. You're just uncomfortable. You don't know what's going on. You could have an influence because of your spirit upon your life and not know anything. You'll remember. Your mind isn't developed. You don't have anything in there yet. A little child, when they are born, if there are saints praying and singing in the Spirit and in the fellowship of the Spirit, and there's an atmosphere of the Spirit, it affects that infant. It does. Does it affect their body? No. Does it affect their soul? Well, you know, a little bit. I mean, they're hearing, whatever, not much. Does it affect their spirit? Yes, that's where they're affected. And, of course, being affected in their spirit will influence their body and their soul. But they're an infant and they're being affected. But since he's got his conscience as his main ruler, and it's almost impossible to establish that kind of atmosphere all the time, although there can be a real sweet atmosphere, he's left to being that thing feels wrong or feels right. He's kind of left with that as his direction. Because that's just what man's choice has been. That's man's choice. That's how we're going to live. And so a little child, I mean, he's making mistakes where he hardly even knows what's going on, you know. But Jesus wasn't left to that. Jesus was in constant fellowship with his Father. There was never a break. There was always that flow. And his spirit was in response to it, and that's all he trusted in. That's what he relied on. Now, and if you want to say it's fair or unfair, all we can say is this, is that Jesus Christ was the second Adam. And he was actually in my opinion, a weaker place and more susceptible place than the first Adam was. And because here he was, he had to really, lay a hold of the butter and honey until he could learn to choose good and hate the evil. I mean, He had to continually receive through his spirit, and so he grew up in that sort of a state. Now, to be tough, that'd be tough when your mind, your soul, is not really developed. And so he was able to be and remain sinless because he had that avenue with his father, but of course he had to say yes. You know, that would be an openness to it. But he wasn't really, he wasn't, as it were, stuck. He wasn't dependent on a conscience. And so he was able to have that. And he relied on that and that alone. And so at the age of 2, he was having fellowship with his father. And he couldn't tell anybody about it. He didn't know what to say. He wouldn't know what to tell them. I mean, it's not like he had a fully developed soul at the age of 2. He didn't. He was a 2-year-old. It's like any 2-year-old. But he was having fellowship with his father. And others did not know that. You couldn't always tell that. Or just was maybe noticeable or maybe not so noticeable responses and lack of responses to certain things. Did Jesus cry as a baby? Of course he did. He got wet diapers just like anybody else. Was it uncomfortable? Yes. Did he cry because of it? Yes. Did he scream when he got poked with a pin, you know? Sure. I don't suppose they had pins, but, you know. Sure. When his mom accidentally bumped him against the wall, did he cry? Sure. I mean, he had a body that responded. He was a full human being. But the whole time he was having fellowship. See, there was a fellowship that was making him something. And we can have that. We can have that. We have that opportunity. But when you're a little infant like that, you know, there is a disadvantage at not being the Son of God. You know what I mean? There comes a time when you have to be born again. Although there are some kids, they were praying, Jesus, forgive my sins, before they even knew what they were saying. And they were making commitments to the Lord and loving the Lord. I mean, when they were just teeny, they were praising the Lord before they hardly knew anything else that was going on, you know. When they get born again, I don't know, but it was sure early, you know. They were sure young. Okay, now, as far as that other point, you always thought it was the first thing, that he was without the curse of Adam. The curse of Adam didn't come until after God cursed them. They already had eaten of the tree. They already had a conscience. Curse didn't come till later, and Jesus was under the curse of Adam. The curse came, affecting the woman in childbirth, affecting her relationship to her husband, affecting the earth, the animals, and their rebellion against man. That was the curse, and Jesus was under the curse of Adam, just like you and I are. The earth is still in rebellion. Animals are still in rebellion. You still have to get by the sweat of your brow. Ever notice that? And the earth does not want to bring forth its fruit, you know. And you got to work and labor. Okay, let's go on. Number 4. The 2 circumstances are the pinnacle of the temple, it was unlawful for anybody but a priest to be there. And if you want to add into that, although it doesn't state it in the scripture, you know, the crowds and the feast day and all of that. But secondly, it was seeing the worlds in a moment of time and the glory of them, or being on a mountain high enough that you can see all the kingdoms of the world. Both those things, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Jesus on the pinnacle without climbing up.
Sure. Yeah. That's absolutely super stupendous, perfect. Hey, so go ahead, read carefully your question. A lot of these that you're telling me are right. You know those.
I use 2 out of the vision, like go ahead, so.
Well, you did, huh? Okay, well, we'll give you a partial. We'll give you 8 points out of 12 for that, minus 4. Yep. Well, sounds like they're kind of there. What is it now? Cast thyself off. We'll give that one. What was the other one? Well, I guess that's kind of the circumstance. Minus 2. They're not as clear. Turn the what? Bread into? No. Oh, sure. Sure, I would. But that's not a circumstance that would necessitate a vision as much as the others. Yeah, I'm sure I came in vision too. Yeah. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Because taking to the pinnacle, that was my answer. You know, like I said, three words is all you need. To the pinnacle, a high mountain for, you know, so forth, all over the sea. Okay, let's go on. Number five, 24 points. There's eight questions. That means 3 points per answer. 3 points. Number one is letter B, less of the eyes. One, C. Letter B. Pardon? Yeah, number one on question number five. Number one, the answer should be letter B. Number two, the answer should be letter C. That's he made false claims by saying, "In all the kingdoms of the world, I'll give them to you." He was lying because he doesn't have quite that authority. There's a way that he does and there's a way that he doesn't. And so he made a false claim. Number three, pride of life is letter C. Tempted in the pride of life. Number four is letter B. Misquoted scripture, Psalm 91. Number five, the lust of the flesh is A. Lusting after the bread. Number six is walking by sight is B. Number seven can either be A or B. In the first two temptations, he questioned Christ's sonship. If you be the Son of God. And number eight is C. Desiring to be like God. That's the third temptation to the Spirit. Yes. Number one is B. Number two is C. Number three is C. Number four is B. Number five is A. Number six is B. Number seven is A or B. Number eight is C. Okay, question number six is worth 24 points. There's six questions, so it's 4 points each. For all you math majors out there. Number one, the immediate parent of the legal lineage is Joseph. Number two, the immediate parent of the natural lineage is Mary. Number three, the New Testament book is Matthew. The legal lineage is carried through all the kings and the illustrious family of through Abraham. Number four, he's the blood of his father God. And I brought that scripture to you in Acts 20, verse 28. It's kind of an interesting scripture that commentaries play with. But it talks about the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And the only antecedent there is God, for the pronoun he. And God purchased the church with his own blood. And really, in a sense, that's actually true. Because the blood is from your father, and Joseph was not the literal father of Christ. God was. So Jesus is of the blood of his father, God. And you say, but God doesn't have blood. I know that. You know that. He's still of the blood of his father, God. He still is. Because God's the one that began it. What about Adam? Who is he the blood of? His father, God. You know? That was worth 4 points. Letter E is no. He was not under the curse of Jeconias for one of several reasons. And number six, the answer is God. If you follow his lineage through Mary, it goes back to Noah, back to Adam, who is the son of God. If you follow his lineage through Joseph, he's the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Noah, the son of Adam, the son of God. And if you follow it through spiritually, he's the son of God. So no matter which way you follow it back, he was ultimately the son of God. Yes. Number three, on this last one, it's Matthew. Matthew. Yes, Megan. On the first one, minus two. Total of 4 points, minus two. Got half of it right, yes. Baptism of repentance. Well, what else do they have?
Yep. Well,
Under the law of the Old Testament? That's not true. Yeah, baptism, repentance, that's okay. Because that's what the law points to. Yes. Can everybody hold down the roar? I'm having a little trouble getting my perceptors on this sweetie over here. Left of the eyes. Yeah, the lust of the eyes was in the list of three things in 1 John. Remember? The lust of the eyes. And it wasn't so much his eyes were lusting in that third temptation. He saw it, but it was a temptation to his spirit. And, I mean, otherwise we could say the same thing as the first temptation. He saw the bread and got hungry. You know, he saw those stones. You know, that was the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes refers to the temptation to the soul, to want to see it, to want to have it confirmed. Exactly. Right, exactly. And that was that phrase. See, and that phrase, you know, then, of course, that's what I taught in class. Yeah, pride of life, letter 3, or letter 8, E, desiring to be like God. Yeah. Yeah, that was the third temptation, though. Eve saw it was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and it would make you wise like God. And they parallel perfectly with the three temptations of Christ. So, no, it doesn't fit that. If it's the third temptation. Because in the second temptation, you know, the second thing that tempted Eve was not to be like God. Okay, the difference is this. When she was tempted to be like God, that's when Jesus was tempted to have rulership over all the worlds and the kings of the world like God. And the second temptation is he wanted to be vindicated as to who he was. And in the second aspect of the temptation to Eve, it wasn't like she could be something. He just saw it looked good and it was pleasant to the eyes and something that he wanted to associate with. So, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yes.
We were having a discussion of what, you know, putting Abraham and God.
That's not an immediate parent.
Yeah, I know. He said immediate parent.
Immediate parent.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, immediate. Immediate parent. Everybody, how many did I say immediate? I said immediate. Several times. Several times. In his legal lineage. His immediate parent in his legal lineage. His immediate parent is Joseph. His immediate parent is not Abraham. No. Yeah, but Abraham is not his immediate parent. Right, so why'd you put Abraham down?
Because you're saying ancestry is what Abraham and God.
Well, if I had asked the question, give me the ancestry of his legal lineage, that would have been something different than... No, you didn't hear the question. Who is his immediate parent in his legal lineage? I did not say write down everybody in his legal lineage. I said, who is his immediate parent in his legal lineage? So you take his legal lineage, where is his immediate parent? Yeah. Joseph. Not Mary. Well, the point is that only Joseph is the right answer. Now you put parenthesis, is that right? Okay, yeah, forget it. He got it right. Mercy.
What question this is the answer to?
Oh, the book from which we find the legal lineage of Christ. The New Testament book. And that's Matthew.
I got that wrong on the other test.
Okay. Nothing like a good test.
Nothing like
it. Nothing like it. Okay, got a few more minutes, moments, time. Born of water and of the Spirit, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Wow. Here I go. I just began to give you applications. Right. Now I just got a few minutes left, but I can get a long way in 6 minutes. Okay. The first application and the primary one of being born of water and of the Spirit is being baptized and being created in Christ Jesus. Baptized in water and created in Christ Jesus. A truth so important you know is going to be reiterated again and again in the Scripture. And it is. In the Great Commission, Jesus told the disciples and emphasized it, because the Great Commission was given not once, but at least twice and possibly three times. And he told them in each case that they had to believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Now we're going to see later that baptism is sort of a lens. It's sort of a lens through which you see something that carries on throughout life. We'll be getting to that shortly. But I want to show you how it's baptism. It's primarily water baptism, although it points to other things because of that. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Excuse you. Okay. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. How are you going to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, the repentance comes first. And then you change in the inner man. And then, because of that, you will be baptized. And then after that, it says, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That is not a command. That is a promise. Notice he did not say, you for sure shall repent. That shall be given to you. You shall receive repentance. And you shall receive baptism. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost. It's not three promises. And neither is it three demands. Repent. Be baptized. Be filled. It's not three demands. It's two demands and one promise. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. So, those first two are demanded, and the faith in your heart that comes to repentance, and as you repent, you're believing also, that faith then is followed through with water baptism, and it's being born of the Spirit, and then being born of the water. And they're reversed here, born of the water and of the Spirit, because he's going from the lower to the higher. And you'll understand more of that a little bit later. Let's look at another instance in Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Excuse you, brother. Oh, bless him? Is that what we're supposed to say? Going to protect that demon that came out when he sneezed? Protect us all? How many are familiar with that custom? Most of you. It came from a belief that every time you sneezed, the demon left your body. And you would say, bless you, because that would protect everybody else from getting the demon. And that's not what we're doing, but, you know, if you carry on those old things. It's just fun to, you know, just excuse the guy. Yes? part of your soul.
Yeah, so you
say, God,
you won't die.
So you won't die. Hmm. Okay. Acts 8, 12 and 13. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They went right with it. He came down there, he preached, and as soon as they believed and repented, they were baptized. It was integral with salvation. It wasn't separate from it. I want you to notice that. Notice that baptism is integral with salvation. It is. Acts 10, 47. Peter, after he had been filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And they commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Demanded because it's integral with salvation. Jesus demanded it. So when we preach the gospel, we demand it also. Acts 19, 4 and 5. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." It just was part of it. Look at Acts 22, verse 16. And now, this is Ananias speaking to Paul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Notice, baptism washes away sins. It is integral with salvation. I mean, salvation is getting your sins forgiven, is it not? It is. You're saved when your sins are forgiven. Baptism washes away sins. It's integral with salvation. Now just hear what I'm saying. I know you've got questions in your mind maybe. But just hear what I am saying. And then I will approach every question that you have. And if you have something now that's bothering you or whatever, write it down. And then you can make sure it gets answered later. But let me say this. Baptism only washes away sins if you have faith. If you have faith. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 is a very important portion of Scripture. Because here we see that baptism is integral with your salvation. And we'll read it tomorrow. Romans 6, 1 through 6. Hey, I want to thank this class. I was looking through my birthday cards. I thought, that sweet card you wrote in class. That was so sweet. Thank you. I think I probably had the most wonderful birthday I've ever had. Really. Really, really. I've got yet to write a thank you note to those over at the chapel court. Oh, I fly on a cloud on those things. I can't believe it. I mean, I've got a lot of thanks to say about that, I'll tell you. That was just unreal. Who? Oh, yeah? Hey, must be a good day. Must be the day Jesus was born. Isn't that what we said?